Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Hello, hello. Thank you once again for joining us on KMUN, our favorite local public radio.
Is it?
It is.
Actually, when you just said public radio, it is the only public radio.
It is. I heart public radio.
Is there a competitor like
nope
that I can think of? Like, how far do they overlap?
They do not.
You'd think so. There's some desert zones in between public radio.
Right. There are. Yes. I was going to say they're on the, I mean, there's internet too, but we also know there are broadband internet deserts as well.
Wow.
Unfortunately, in rural parts of America.
Yeah, that's sad.
But not here, because we have KMUN
and
KMUN.org, where an adventure in history lives, and we get to bring you all sorts of cool guests. We have one tonight, Zoe Manheyer. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
She's like, what did I sign up for? I don't know why I'm here.
I do always love our guests are always a little nervous at the beginning. They're like, what am I doing here? So, but it's you get to talk about what you do and your life. It's easy.
I know. See, we think you're so fascinating. We're just going to convince you by the end of the show that you are.
Well, I hope your audience thinks so too.
Yes. But Zoe is the events and recreation manager at Sunset Empire Parks and Rec. So you've got a busy summer going. Right?
I mean, we got our farmer's market every Wednesday.
Oh, man.
Noon to six. And
so many things going on.
Yep.
Okay. So
we're going to get to all that.
We should get right to it then.
Yes.
So you don't have anything. We got nothing to plug.
We're good.
So these are the history highlights, the things that happen tomorrow, August 4th. As always, icebreakers, things to talk about around the dinner table. Let's see. August 4th, 1693.
Okay.
It is the date traditionally ascribed to Dom Perignon's invention of champagne.
Ooh.
How do we feel about that?
Well, I love it. I feel like we should be sipping it now.
We should be sipping some now? Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. Then 1784, Russians begin to settle Alaska. One day after anchoring in Three Saints Bay, Russian fur trader Grigory Shelikov sends a scouting team ashore onto Alaska's Kodiak Island. And this predates you, Alana, but we used to talk about this a lot because it ties into the whole founding of Astoria, the fur trade. So,
well, I do remember we have done a couple of the Alaska, Canada, Washington before, sort of exploration and how everybody wanted to take hold, you know, take a claim.
That's right. That's right. But Shelikov and then a guy named Bronovov. Comes up a lot. So that's Grigory here. 1790, United States Revenue Cutter Service is established to serve as an armed customs enforcement service. And do you know why we care? Because it becomes the U.S. Coast Guard in 1915.
Oh.
1790, though, the Revenue Cutter Service.
Okay. And my mind was like, revenue cutters, are they making money? Or okay, now I get it.
All right, 1892, Lizzie Borden's parents are found dead. Lizzie Borden.
Oh.
So, Massachusetts.
All right.
You don't like that kind of stuff, so we'll move on. 1942, the United States and Mexico signed the Mexican Farm Labor Agreement, creating what is known as the Bracero Program. The program, which lasted until 1964, so it started today, 1942 through 64, was the largest guest worker program in U.S. history.
Oh, interesting.
Throughout its existence, the Bracero program benefited both farmers and laborers, but also gave rise to numerous labor disputes, abuses of workers, and other problems that have long characterized the history of farm labor in the southwestern United States.
Oh.
It's the middle of the war.
Right.
We still got, we've got crops. We got to take care of, so we'll bring some folks in from Mexico to work.
Right. Okay. But that program ended.
The program ended in 64.
Interesting.
I didn't do a dive into why.
Well, I know one. Well, it must have changed into something else, some other sort of work visa program, I would imagine.
Probably. Actually, that's probably true.
Right.
All right. 1961, Barack Obama is born.
Happy birthday.
All right. But no, that's not the history. Okay. Coming up to the next one. I thought this might be because I thought about it. 1964, Slain civil rights workers are found. The remains of three civil rights workers whose disappearance on June 21st garnered national attention are found buried in an earthen dam near Philadelphia, Mississippi. Michael Schwerner and Andrew Goodman, both white New Yorkers, had traveled to heavily segregated Mississippi to help organize civil rights efforts on behalf of the Congress of Racial Equality. The third man, James Cheney, was a local African-American man who had joined CORE in 1963. The disappearance of the three young men led to a massive FBI investigation that was codenamed MIBURN, M-I-B-U-R-N, and it was for Mississippi Burning. Oh. And, of course, they made a movie.
Right. Yes. Okay. Now really, it's coming to me. Yes.
A really good movie. Really powerful.
Yes.
1977.
Almost the history highlight.
It was almost. Because yeah. that was kind of a big deal.
It was, yeah.
1977, President Jimmy Carter establishes the Department of Energy.
It's important.
The DOE. My dad worked for the DOE for a while. But our history highlight today, I think had the most impact. 1944, Anne Frank is captured.
Hmm.
And we all know how that turned out.
Yes.
So, but I do have to give one little thing. You know, her diary, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you both read it. I hope all of our listeners have read it. Very powerful, but I always feel like we're invading her privacy a little bit. I always feel a little guilty.
And yeah, I mean, it is quite the legacy, right? And I think it's so powerful that she, at such a young age, was actually such a good writer, right?
Such a good writer. She's just her way to tell her story and her angst and her concerns and her.
It captured so much of the feeling. Yeah. That's a tough day.
I feel guilty reading her diary.
Yes.
I do feel like the way she wrote it, though, that she wrote it trying to tell her story.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like maybe she had some foresight.
Oh, do you think that she kind of knew somebody's going to read her diary at some point?
Maybe part of it was her intention.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing.
Wow.
Well, another amazing woman here with us today, Zoe Manheyer, again with Sunset Empire Parks and Rec. Thank you once again for joining us. We're glad to have you here, and we are glad to talk about you. So let's start with you. Where were you born, and where'd you grow up?
Okay. I was born kind of on the road in Salem, Oregon. And my dad was, back in the day, his profession was a traveling scissor sharpener.
Okay.
So he had this van that's the way it used to be. They used to have a traveling scissor sharpener that drove around all the hospitals and all the medical clinics. And he would park his van up there and sharpen his scissors and sharpen the surgical tools and things like that. And for the longest time when we were in school, we went with him.
Yeah.
The whole family, took the whole family. And we tented and kind of was homeless by choice because my dad preferred to keep all the family with us. So we just traveled around and tented in different cities all through the Northwest and California. And
I was going to ask, how big is his territory?
California, Idaho, Washington, Wyoming, Montana, a lot of Montana, and even little parts of Nevada, too. So we were all over.
So how often does he show up at a hospital and then he's back again?
Yes. Sometimes every 6 months. Depends on how busy the hospital is and how big it was.
Sure.
So the big, large hospitals in the big cities, I feel like it was like every 6 months. And the small little clinics, maybe every year.
Does he work for a bigger company or is this just his own thing?
He was his own little company.
That's amazing.
And it was really interesting experience because, when we finally went to school, we would rent a house during the winter months to go to school. But in the summer, we would just not rent a house and just travel around and camp in state campgrounds. And sometimes we'd sleep in right there at the hospital. You know, my little sister was born in a camper at the hospital. I mean, she was born at the hospital, but we were all like in the camper waiting for her as my dad was sharpening their tools. It was kind of an interesting life, but as he got older, I think we did that. We traveled every summer, probably until middle school. And then he retired. And and we kind of have more of a stable home life through the summer.
Did you like that nomadic lifestyle? I mean,
well, when you're a kid, it's fun. You don't realize. And it was challenging because, you know, food was scarce too. And sometimes my dad hunted and fished for food. And so sometimes we didn't always have the money for food. And so it was challenging life, but my parents were super creative people. And they were outdoorsy people. My mom would go right out there in the middle of the river and catch fish for dinner and then cook it. And so she was pretty amazing pioneer woman that I got to watch. And she was super creative and made things fun. We didn't have TV or digital stuff, and only when we were home in the winter, and spent a lot of time in my grandmother's house in the winter too as well. So most of my life on a home base was I was raised mostly in Florence, Oregon, Central Oregon coast, and I went to most of my schools there as well.
Did you notice you're missing sort of that adventure when you did have to stay in one place?
Yeah, it was an adjustment for me. Right. It wasn't so much for my younger sister because she's 4 years younger, so she was younger when we settled. But for me, yeah, I kind of realized quickly that I got restless easy. And, of course, I also suffered a little bit from ADHD, so I really had a challenge with that. And then also just being stuck there all the time at home. Right. Yeah, I really liked, and I even now I like to travel. I like adventure. So,
but did you have great stories for your schoolmates, classmates of, you know, I've been here, been there.
Yes, we did. And we had some interesting stories. Like my mom, she also was a author, but not published, but she would write children's stories and she would make up songs, and she wrote them all down. Someday I'm going to publish them for her. And my dad was he was a hunter and a fisherman. And one time we were in Montana at a state campground, and he went on his little inner tube with his fishing pole down the river, but it was a new river that we hadn't been to before, and apparently there were some rapids down there. And so he didn't come back, and it was really scary, and had to call the state police in, and everybody's searching for him for hours. It turns out he got caught in the rapids and flipped over, and anyways, he was fine in the end. They found him with his fish.
Oh, of course, right. Can't lose that.
Can't lose that. But
okay, yeah. I already know. I love your family.
So how did this shape then your vision as to what you were going to do with your life?
I don't know. I knew that's interesting because my mom was very much into music, and she was a singer. And so I, at the time when I was young, I thought I was going to be a music teacher. That's what I wanted to do. But somehow when I went to school for music, I ended up finding some recreation classes and ended up taking recreation classes and art and administration classes. And I also loved art history. So I ended up in the recreation department towards the end and art department. And that's ended up what I ended up majoring in.
And what attracted you to that? Especially if you didn't initially go to school thinking this is going to be my career.
Yeah.
What?
What I love about recreation is you're never doing the same thing twice. And again, with the way I grew up, always a new adventure, always something different. I needed a career that was like that, where I could have a new program or a new thing to do. I'm not just sitting doing the same thing every day.
Right.
And so that's really what attracted to me when I started taking classes and learning how to do event planning, learning how to leisure studies and all sorts of things like that. I also thought I was interested in like adventure studies or nature studies, things like that. So
what was it that finally then tied your dad down?
Oh, retire.
He retired.
Retirement.
Okay.
Retirement. Yeah. He suffered a little bit from mental health problems, and so it just got to be unmanageable by the end. And his age, and he also had some physical problems with heart disease and diabetes that just kind of made work challenging for him.
Yeah. Well, and just camping every day too. I mean, that's a lot of work, right?
It was.
On top of working.
Yeah, it was. I guess my least favorite thing about it was not having a regular bathroom all the time. In fact, when I was really little, I really hated using the woods. And so my mom would always go out with me and she'd hold her hands out and let me sit in it like it was a bathroom, a little potty. And she was so good that way. But we got through it. But we experienced a lot of challenges. My parents, back in the day, I don't know if they still do this, but you used to be able to go and collect pine cones. Like the government would pay you to, it's almost was like cleaning the forest floors for firefighting, for fire control, fire management. And my parents would take all of us kids up there and into the forest, and we'd all collect pine cones for them and then go get money. And one time my older sister accidentally went to the bathroom on a beehive.
Oh.
And the bees went everywhere, all over her and all over my younger sister and all over me. And we were just stuck up in the woods, and then we had no treatment. And so my parent, luckily, we weren't major allergic. We had a little bit of a flare up, but my mom and dad just immediately put mud all over us, created mud and put it all over our hair. I mean, we looked a little scary. People would say we were uncivilized, but it was, we looked like a tribe or something.
But it worked.
It worked.
Mud.
Yeah, it's mud. Immediately all over us. And we came out just filthy and just, but it worked. And it healed. It's almost like it pulled the toxins of the bee stings out.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. So you're in this track in college, and what did that mean to you in terms of a job? What did you think? Were you going to run a Parks and Rec? Were you going to work at a YWCA or Boys and Girls Club? What does that mean?
The funny thing is I didn't even think Park and Rec. I was thinking, because I wasn't sure I was going to get a job. My husband always said, oh, you're majoring in underwater basket weaving. We're not going to get a job. But I actually had pictured myself possibly working at a museum because I really loved art history. And I took a lot of art history classes. But I ended up, for one of my event planning classes, I took a practicum with the Oregon Park and Recreation Association. And they had an award for a recreation professional, Effie Fairchild, that they did every year. And I was on the committee to help plan it. And there I met Mary Blake, who was the executive director of Sunset Empire Park and Recreation District for 30 years. And this was in 1997. And I was just on the cusp of graduating, and I helped her, the committee plan this award program. And she's like, oh, well, we need a special event coordinator soon. Mine's retiring. And I said, okay. And I was excited. And so we set up a time to interview, and I came out here and interviewed and got the job. And I literally got the job on a week before I graduated University of Oregon. And then I graduated University of Oregon, and then I literally just the next day traveled over here to start work.
Oh, my goodness.
Had you been in Seaside before? Did you have any memories of Seaside?
No, I had never been to Seaside. I've always been in Central Oregon, coast.
What were your first impressions?
It's funny. My husband and I came up for the interview. We were walking along the beach. I loved it because it reminded me of the Oregon coast. And at the time, I was going to school in Eugene, so I had a lot of allergies in Eugene in the valley. I have asthma, and I struggled with the valley allergies. And I was like, I want to come back to the Oregon coast. I love this beach. My husband was working at Costco over in Eugene. He loved it, and he said, "Absolutely not. I'm never going to leave Eugene." And then I got the job, and he's like, okay, we're leaving Eugene. And because they happened to have one of the smallest Costcos in the world here in Warrenton, Oregon, before they built the new one.
Yeah.
And so he transferred over there, and now he loves the Oregon coast because he became a surfer, and now he's a major pickleball lover, which he loves to do here. And so now he never wants to leave, but we actually had a little argument over coming here.
That's so funny. But you're like, nope, we're still going to apply to the job. Yeah. Just seeing.
I just, the ocean and the beach air, it just is reminds me of home, even though I've traveled the mountains and everywhere. And it, I always felt more connected to the ocean.
So how was it then working with Mary? How did you build, how'd you build this lovely program?
You know, Mary Blake is an amazing person, woman. And she's creative, she's strong, she's driven. And she really guided me to be the adult I am today. I was on a little bit of the shy side when I first started, and she taught me how to communicate with the community, how to build bridges with the community, and yeah, she was a lot of fun. She was a lot of fun, and she did a lot for Park and Rec. I was able to be there for her, with her, through the process of our expansion through the Park and Rec, when we built our warm water pool, when we built the skate park, when we built the new bathrooms and the new lobby. So, and then through her retirement. And so she, I really appreciate that I had that time and opportunity to learn from her, as not only as for my personal life, but as a professional life.
And have you stayed there that entire time? You stayed with?
I stayed there until 2009, and I took a little break because I had a premature son who had spina bifida, and he had to have surgery, and he had all so many medical therapy programs that he had to be in, physical therapy, nutrition program, occupational therapy. And it just got to be a little bit more challenging to actually work during all that time. I had to go to Portland. They didn't always have services here. So I had to go to Portland several times a week. So I decided I needed to step down and focus on that. So I did that for about 5 years. And then I came back to Park and Rec through the fitness program, through teaching, and I did that until this job came back again, open, and then I was able to.
You're like, back. I'm still here.
So, yeah.
I'm ready.
I'm in that emergency glass. Packing. I'm coming out, and I'm there. So talk a little bit about, you mentioned some of the physical changes to the expansion and the new facilities, but talk about the program, how some of the programs offered have changed from when you first worked there to today.
Well, a lot of the programs come and go. I mean, that is true. Our aquatic department, I would say, is just as strong as it was back then. The pool was, of course, founded with the pool and with the goal of water safety and swim lessons and really trying to keep our young people safe from drowning in the oceans and our lakes that we have around us. So the pool has grown as far as, because when we put the water, warm water pool in there, now we have adaptive swimming and we have more aquatic arthritis exercise programs that can be in the 90 degree warm water. And so it has expanded more because of those additions. We also are allowed, we have opportunities now where MERT comes in. What is that in Astoria? MERT.
Oh, yeah. MERTs.
Oh, the Marine.
Marine.
Yeah. Training.
Yeah. Training, yeah. The Marine training. They come in, I think, once a month, and they do their trainings in our water, which is really good. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the Warrington Robotics team that comes and practices their robotics, and they did fabulous at state this year. They did. Yeah, and now they're going to the world.
They are.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so we have a lot more than just our community using our pool. For a long time, we had a joint swim team with Astoria's pool, the North Coast swim team. It was parent ran for a long time, and now we have, I think, separate swim teams. But yeah, the programs... Our recreation program probably is the one that has grown the most because the pool was founded in just the swimming pool. Our recreation programs were small. We didn't have a lot of space.
Right.
We had a tiny little youth center that was built off the pool in 94 or something like that. And then we also used some space at the Bob Chisholm Community Center, and we used some space at what is now the Mary Blake Playhouse. But we didn't really have enough room to really have a huge youth programs until we bought the Broadway Middle School. Yeah. And now our youth programs have tripled.
Which is now called the Sunset Rec Center.
Which is now called the Sunset Recreation Center at 1120 Broadway.
Yeah, excellent.
It's amazing.
And give us like phone number and website just in case we run out of time.
Our website is sunsetempire.com. Our phone number is 503-738-3311.
Okay. Now, I know it's like picking your favorite child or for me, like picking my favorite museum. But what are some of your favorite programs?
Besides youth programs, because I love youth programs, right now we are putting on the Seaside Farmers Market, and that has been going on for over 11 years and has grown from 40 vendors to 75 vendors, up to 75 vendors that we have.
Live music.
Food. And it's every Wednesday. Yeah. From food court opens up at noon, and the main market opens up at 1, and it closes at 6 p.m.
It's that perfect after work stop.
It is.
Because you can get dinner.
Yeah.
And then buy all your produce for the next few days.
Yep. And right now it's running till September 10th.
Oh, I love it.
Excellent. So you still have time.
And it's like it's a nice size too. It's not overwhelming.
It is. And it really brings in not just tourists, but a lot of community. True. Our community, it's a community hub for people to come and hang out and visit and just get together. It's just like one of those old fashioned community fairs that you.
Hmm. Yeah.
And everyone sees everybody and knows everybody. And it's very pet friendly. And we have it's very bilingual. We have a bilingual speaker or our translation person doing our SNAP program. We take in the Oregon food trail and provide those services as well.
But I do understand you had a program called like Kinder Swims or something.
And our aquatic part.
Some very troublesome students.
Yeah, 10 years ago, Carly was in that class with Zoe. Yeah. I had to remind her. It's like, yeah, she's 10 now, but she was a baby.
Yeah, I had to remind her. Yeah.
Yes.
She was the cutest baby, though.
She was. Well, and she like shot through those classes because I think she also was so good at swimming.
Yeah, she was a natural.
That at age 2, she was already in the lessons with like the 4 and 5 year olds.
Yeah. And our biggest goal with Kinder Swim is to get them to flip over on their back so they're comfortable in the water, flip over on their back so that they can live if they fall into a body of water. And she was real quick.
Oh, she was
She didn't mind her face in the water. Nope. She didn't mind. And she was just quick learner.
But big brag on the warm pool, though. I mean, seriously, I think one of the biggest deterrents for kids learning to swim is the water's cold at other places.
Exactly.
And they're tiny.
Yeah.
So their little bodies can't handle it. But you said 90 degrees. Yeah. I mean, it's like the perfect, you just walk in. It's like, it's a bath. it's a warm bath.
I appreciate that we have a pool, and I don't think our community realizes how lucky they are, because I grew up in a community that didn't have a pool. How we learned to swim, you were just pushed off a cliff into the lake.
Right.
Which is one of the reasons it took me a long time to get comfortable with water again after that, because I was a little bit traumatized. So, you know, if you want, we're all lucky that we have swimming pools here in Astoria and Seaside.
So to wrap up our time with Zoe Manheyer with Sunset Empire Parks and Rec, what is it that keeps you here on the North Oregon coast?
In 20 seconds.
I think not just the environment of the ocean, because I do feel like my soul connects with the ocean, but the people on the Oregon coast are very loving and caring. And Seaside particularly has a very strong community volunteer service and that connection. And I really appreciate the power of the people in Seaside.
It's wonderful.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being here and for all that you do for the community. I think you make a difference with a lot of people that go through there. So thank you so much. Go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.